done in quite a while, and that is a responsive reading. So Jonathan and Corey have put it up on the screen for us. So I, as the leader, will read this part, and when they change the screen, you will respond. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature, should take such view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Thank you. Line where it says, grace that's greater than all my sin. Think about that for just a minute, and it ought to make a Baptist shout. Or make us run around the building a time or two. But I tell you, we have truly been blessed to live in a time in history under this dispensation of grace of when we're no longer under the law. We began studying Wednesday night in Brother Terry's class that word under, we was under the law for years and as people, and then grace came through Jesus Christ. Now we're under grace, and we talked about how that word under took on the same meaning as crushed. We've been crushed under grace. We can't get out. And boy, what a great song that is, and thank God for marvelous grace. If you got your Bibles today, turn Galatians chapter number 1, verse 10. This message has been on my mind for a couple weeks, and I preached something different last week. It was what God had laid on my heart about standing, but God's put a message on my heart for the last couple of weeks. I've been studying and thinking and praying, and the title of it is, What is Church? What is Church? You know, I think we have got, and I'm sure we have gotten, where it's become tradition. Become tradition of what we do on Sundays is we go to church. If we don't go to church, then some may watch it on TV or different things, but I want you to see something today that it's in God's Word and it's biblical, and God wants you to belong to something bigger than a building. He wants you to belong to something bigger than a name. He wants you to belong to something that is a body. It's not a building. And I get it mixed up in my mind so many times about what a successful church looks like. We see things through human eyes. We see things through our eyes. And to my mind, I've got my mind's eyes of what a successful church looks like. But what does one look like to God? What does a successful church look like to God, and what is church? Why do we come to church? And I hope to answer some of these questions today. And the sad thing is, if we've gotten some issues mixed up in our country, we've gotten some issues mixed up in our little communities even, such as Heflin and out where I live, Reverend Muscadine, out that way, all over this land, we have gotten things mixed up. I think we have gotten a church and a country club put in the same situation. I want to tell you something today. A church should be a place that you enjoy coming, but some differences in a church and a country club is you don't come to church to be served. You come to church to serve. When you belong to a country club, you pay a due. And when you pay dues, guess what? You get a service. They are to please you. They are to make things comfortable for you. They're to make things just the way you want them. And church is not that way. But we've tend to taken that and swapped it around for some reason. And we're trying to operate our churches such as a business. And it's not a business. It is a body of believers saved by the blood of Jesus Christ is what a church is. It don't operate like a business. It don't operate anything like a business. We shouldn't use smart marketing tactics and all this thing. Bless God, the Word's been working for 2,000 years, and I believe it'll continue to work if we begin to preach it and begin to teach it the way it's always been. It never has changed, and it won't change. So what is church? In Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 through 10. It's not going to make a lot of sense when I first read it, but I hope by the time I'm done, we'll read it again, and I hope it makes a little sense to you. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 through 10, says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from the God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marveled, begin listening right here for certain. I want you to listen to this. I marvel that you are soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. It must be pretty important if God put it there twice. Listen to verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Father, we thank you for this word today. Father, I ask that you use us for just a little bit, that God, you move all of our thoughts out of our minds. God, that you just fill it with your thoughts. And God, I ask that we open our hearts and our minds to accept your word. God, I ask you to help us understand today why we're here. I ask you to help us understand why the church exists. I ask you to help us understand of how important it is to be a member of this body. And God, I ask you to go with us, lead, guide, and direct us, and everything we do and say may be an honor and glorify the name of Jesus Christ. And for his name we do ask it. Amen. I believe y'all went through a book here before I came. I saw a couple laying around when I come in one Sunday that was written by Tom Rainer that says, I'm a church member. We went through the same book where I used to pastor, and I remember that he related that book a lot to a church or a country club, or you may want to say a social club, but I've got a little thing that he wrote here, and I want to read this to you. This is by Tom Rainer. It says, we are called to be the church, not just to attend a building and make it into a country club. God did not give us local churches to become country clubs, where membership means we have privileges and perks. It says, he placed us in churches to serve, to care for others, to pray for our leaders, to learn, to teach, to give, and in some cases, to die for the sake of the gospel. Boy, that don't make it near as appealing, does it? That country club effect makes it way more appealing than when you begin reading of how God set up the church. I want to tell you something, that God loves you today, and he loves you so much that he saw fit to send his son to die for you, that you could become a part of the body of Christ. And what a blessing it is today that we get to do this. And there's no better place to see what a church should be than to turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 47. These chapters truly show us what a church is to be. So as we read these and preach about these, I want you to think today, do you want to belong to a church or do you want to belong to a country club? Now, a country club is fun. I've never belonged to one because I'm too poor and I'm too old-fashioned. I remember one time we went to a country club and I had bought a bunch of swimming pool equipment from them, chairs and such as that. And my sister-in-law was over the housing thing up there in Douglasville, big fancy subdivision called Chapel Hill. And I borrowed, the only trailer I knew to borrow was my friend's horse trailer. And I pulled up in there in an F-250 truck with mud all over it with a horse trailer. Boy, you talk about looking like white trash. No, I did. They looked at me all kinds of weird, but we pulled up there. And I decided right then that I wasn't country club material, that I wasn't made to be a country club. I wouldn't last very long. So I really can't preach about a country club that I don't know much about. But I have studied a little bit, and I know that you have to pay to be part of that thing. And when you pay to be part of it, you get to choose a lot of times of how it's to be. You get to choose the colors they have, and I can imagine trying to please that many people with colors around the swimming pool and all these different things, but you get a choice in what it's to be. But I want to tell you something, church. When you're a member of the Church of Christ, you don't get to choose. You don't get to choose. You simply get to serve. And it's what a blessing it should be to us to get to serve. And listen to this, in a country club, your needs are met. If it's not, you know what you do? You go to another country club. You pull your dues and go somewhere else because they're not meeting your needs. But when you're active in a local church, you are meeting the needs of others is what you're called to do. In Acts chapter 2, it says, when they gladly received his word, were baptized, the same day were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Let's stop right there. Back up just a little bit right there, guys. Back to 42. And after they were saved, after they were baptized into that first church, they immediately began doing something. It wasn't coming seeing what all programs they could get together. It wasn't deciding how fancy they could make the thing look. Matter of fact, they didn't even have a building. They were just meeting where they could. They wasn't a membership of a building. They was a membership of a body. And so immediately they began, it says they continued in the doctrine. If you're going to be a successful church, you must stay in the Word of God. Paul told us right here in Galatians, he said, if any man preach to you any other gospel besides Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, resurrected, born of a virgin, anybody preaches anything besides that, you get out of that place and you tell them they are wrong. And he told them, he said, continue in the apostles' doctrine. And they continued in something else, church. They continued in fellowship. They continued caring for one another and being around one another. And it's impossible to have a strong local body of Christ and not have fellowship. That's why it's so important that you eat at some point. And that's why it's important that you come together outside the sanctuary and you have some time of fellowship. It worked for the first church and it still works today. As a member, listen, you can be a member of a country club. You can go by yourself. You can sit by the swimming pool. Or you can get on the golf course and you're just fine and dandy to be alone. But when you're in a body of Christ, you need a fellowship one with another. I've heard people say, well, I don't go to this church or I don't go to that church because I don't feel no sense of community there or I just don't feel no closeness. And bless God, if that's the case, we need to do something about it. We need to up the fellowship. We need to get fellowship. And listen, a lot of this time, this stuff is our own fault. You'll say, well, preacher, they ain't including me in this. Have you let them know you want to be included? You say, they don't ask me to do this. Well, have you showed them that you might want to do something? Have you let people know that you're interested in being in that fellowship? And one of the number one things you'll hear when somebody will talk about church is they'll say, well, this church has this little clique, or they have this little clique, or this little group won't do this, or this little group don't want to do that. And listen, have you ever thought about trying to be part of that? And I guarantee you something, and most of the time they'll accept you. We must have fellowship. They continue in fellowship. And in breaking of bread, they eat. And in prayers, they prayed. Now for one another, listen, in a country club, you might run into your neighbor there every occasion. Every now and then, you may talk to them, but you have no real desire to see them do well. If you be honest with yourself, you just want there to meet your needs, and you want to be pampered, and you want to be taken care of, and you could care less about them other people is a mindset in a country club. But listen, in a church family, in a church body, there's way different than that. There's a care for one another, a praying for one another. If one's going through a struggle, we need to be praying for them. The Bible tells us in James to pray for one another. It says if one's sick, having to come forth, have the elders to anoint him with the oil and to pray for him. And it says the prayer of faith will heal the sick. It tells us that we're to pray for one another. We to have concern. Listen, the problem we have in our churches, and I hope it's not here, is that so many people just belong to the building. Now, so many people belong to the church roll. Their name was put on a church roll in such and such year, and I give my tithes to that church, so surely I must belong to the true church. I want to tell you something. If you have not asked Jesus Christ to your heart, if you've not been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, then you're not a member of anything but a bunch of bricks and mortar. You know what? One day the bricks is going to burn up. One day the mortar is going to be gone. One day the roll that your name is on down here is going to be gone. It's going to be done away with. It'll burn up somewhere. I saw a guy one time talked about he wanted to leave church. And he said he went to the church clerk and said, well, if you'll just give me my letter, I'll go. I believe they think there's a letter stuck somewhere, Casey. We know we come up with that, but listen. What are we belonging to today? What is our desire? Do we want to belong to a church or do we want to belong to a country club? Now, I'm not against having fun. Y'all know that. I love to have fun. I love to cut up. I love to joke. I love to do this and that. But my whole heart's desire for New Harmony Baptist Church is that we're truly a body of Christ. That we're truly a body that's knit together, just as first church was. And when one of us hurts, the rest of us hurts. When one is down, the rest of us is down. When one is up, we can joy with them. We can do this with them. But listen, in a country club, you know what happens? You get jealous. You see God moving in one case, you get jealous of them. If you're in a country club, You see one driving a new car in a country club, what happens? You got to have one like it. You see one driving something fancy, we got to beat them just a little bit. You see them buy a new home, you got to up them just a little bit more. Listen, in the body of Christ, when you see one doing good, you should joy with them, you should glorify with them, and you should be glad that God is using them. I told them this morning, it's hard as a pastor when you come and preach and you do the same things that maybe Charles Stanley does, and every week Charles Stanley probably adds 100 members to their church or something like that, I imagine. He's got about 8,000 attendance, and you begin questioning, God, why don't you do that at my place? And the answer I've come up with is not God's will to use me like it does Charles Stanley. I may be supposed to be in country churches the rest of my life, and bless God, if that's his will, then that's what I want it to be. It may not be nothing big, but to him it's everything. Of being right where I'm supposed to be. So do I want to be a member of a country club or a church? Let's move on a little bit. Are you a member of a body or a building? A body of a building. Now think about this. You go ask people. You ask them, you say, are you going to heaven? And they'll say, yes, I hope so. It's one of the most popular ones. You'll say, well, how do you know? And most of the time, not every time, but most of the time, you'll get this. Well, in 1957, I was baptized and my name was put on the roll of New Harmony or such and such church or whichever one may have been. At that time, I would have done that. Yes, so I hope I'm going to heaven. Listen, the Bible tells us that we don't have to hope if we're a member of the body. We can know for certain that we are saved today. We know for certain that we belong to him. If you know without a shadow of doubt that there was a time in your life when you cried out to Jesus Christ, you asked him to save you, then I want to tell you something today. You are a member of the body of Christ. You may be a member of a building also. You may be the member of New Harmony Baptist Church, but that's not going to do us any good one day, because that role that we have in our churches, when it's gone, there's another role that's going to matter. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. It says our names is written there, never to be blotted out. If it's once there, let me tell you something, church, it's there today. If it's ever been there, it's still there. Now bless God, that song they sang, we covered by grace. It says grace that's greater than all of our sin. Nothing we can do can separate us from the love of God. But we belong into a body or a building. Let me read to you about a body. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 21. And I know I got a lot of verses, and them guys about ready to kill me today. It says, Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but you transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say that through the grace given unto me of every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member is one of another. And having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Harbor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. Now, this stuff hurts, don't it? Not slothful in business, nor fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. The body of Christ. What does it mean to be part of the body of Christ? Much, much bigger than being part of a building. Listen, you can be a member of New Harmony Baptist Church and not be a member of the body of Christ. And if that's the truth, you may hold an office in the building. You may hold an office as teacher, you may hold an office as deacon, or you can be pastor, or anything you want to be in the part of this building, because we decide that. We come together and we elect those positions. We decide we want to put into there. But listen, once you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you're put into the body of Christ, and you're not given the same gift as the one sitting beside you. You may not have the gift of preaching, and others may. You may not have the gift to teach, but others may. You may not have the same gifts as this one sitting beside you, but bless God, I promise you something. You have a place, you have a purpose, you have a position, and you have a responsibility to be fulfilling that, what God has given you to do for that local body. The is functioning the way we're supposed to function is because we are operating half together. We're operating without our arms. We're operating without our legs. There's those that are missing from us. They're supposed to be the body. And we're wondering why our church is not successful. And all along, we're trying to operate with half a body. Could you imagine? I watched a football game this winter. December, I think it was. Central Florida played Auburn. And the linebacker was missing part of an arm. And he was still great. He was a great player. But you could tell that something was just missing. When he go to tackle, he didn't have the hand to wrap around. But listen, he made it happen. And I myself, I've told y'all this a time or two, I'm missing my left eye. I don't see very much out of it. And I can remember a time when I had it. And listen, my body's not complete without it. And listen, there's people that are missing legs and different things in our communities. And they can tell you how hard it is to go on when you're missing this. So why in the world do we fill our churches to be successful if we're to operate as a body when we're missing part of our parts? We're missing arms, we're missing legs, and it tells us to run the race with patience and to go forward for Jesus Christ. And here we are as a body, trying to go forward without the leg. One leg wanting to move. One leg's wanting to go forward, one leg's wanting to go backwards. One arm's wanting to do this, other arm's wanting to do that. One eye's trying to look this way, the other eye's looking that way, until a body gets all those parts working together and get them all working in unison. The church cannot be what it's supposed to be. We're missing part of the body. And he told us there, he said, some is given the gifts to teach. Some is given this, they're given that. That all of them have different roles to carry on. And he tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that our main concern, the thing I need to worry about, is to present myself a living sacrifice unto God, let God use me how he'd see fit, and then I'll find my place of where I belong inside that body. You see, it's not happening today. It's not happening today. We see it all over our land. It's not just here. It's everywhere. The number one question you're asked when a family comes to join the church is, or they come to visit the church, the first thing they'll say is, what have you got for this? Most of the time it's kids, not all the time, but what have you got to do this? What have you got to keep me busy? What have you got to do that? What have you got to do this? Listen, you want to know something? Oh, how in the world did our forefathers ever make it? My great-grandfather, I've heard people talk about, he would walk to church on Saturday evening. He didn't have a car, he would walk up there. They didn't have any heat, they carried wood, I guess, burning a wood stove. Didn't have air conditioning, didn't even have ice machines, didn't have any of these things. How in the world did they make it? They didn't have any padded pews, didn't have any of these things we have. Have you ever wondered, what did they do? Hey, they didn't even have no programs for the children. They didn't have all this stuff. But what in the world did people do? I'll tell you what they did. They worshiped the risen Savior. And they realized something, that God was God, and he didn't need them, but he wanted them. And those old saints of God, they would come, and they would preach, and they would pray, and they would raise their hands up, and you don't have to do that to worship him, I know that. But they would get earned before God, and they were sincere about belonging to a body, but they wouldn't worry about the building, because, bless God, the building didn't look like very much back then. They was lucky if you couldn't see the chickens under it. Just have wood on the sides of it. Most of them wouldn't have any insulation. I've heard them talk about the windows in revival times. They'd have to open the windows for people to sit in. Didn't have any of the fancy stuff. How in the world did churches ever survive? How's New Harmony been here 150-something years without all these things they had back then? They didn't even have no fancy lights back then, Corey. They didn't have no sound system. They didn't have any projectors. They didn't have all this new stuff. How in the world did they ever make it this long? Listen, I'm not against technology, but what I am against is getting too big for our britches. That's an old saying, but it's true. For our riches. We get to thinking that we did this thing. You see, in the last 60 or 70 years, God has really blessed this nation. And you know what's happened is people has become getting further and further away from God as he's been blessing more and more. We talk about it all the time, but we're going to talk about it again. We've got all these things to keep our mind off the Lord. Do we want to belong to a body or a building? Number three, do we want entertainment or eternal life? Boy, this is tough, and I mean, y'all going to be mad at me after this. Entertainment or eternal life? I told them in our class back there, I've heard it talked about. Everywhere I look lately, this is what comes up. You know why? Because it's affecting our churches more than anything has ever affected, is this thing of entertainment. And it's not your fault. It's not my fault, although it is, but I'm going to try to help you out a little bit here. But the thing is, your mind is being infiltrated with entertainment of every way you go. You cannot escape entertainment. I don't know where my phone went. I've lost it. But I'll tell you something, if you leave that thing at home a day, it'll mess your day up, won't it? Listen, our whole life is full of entertainment. You see somebody sit down, what do? They pull out their phone. They gotta have entertainment. You see them, they turn go home. The first thing we do, we can't stay in quiet time. We flip the TV on. You know why? We gotta be entertained. We get in our cars, and now they got radios that you can get satellite with. Anywhere you go, John, you get the same station, and it's great. You can listen to things on there. I know that, and I heard that there's cars coming out that they're doing away with CD players and all this stuff now. All it does, you just get everything over satellites, and there's different ways, and boy, getting so fancy in all this, and we got to be entertained in every aspect of life. So you know what we've done? We've pulled it into our churches. We're not worried today about if a man can preach the gospel according to the Bible and teach my children about Jesus Christ and teach me and my family about Jesus Christ and preach the truth as the Bible says. What we're worried about today now is how can he entertain me? How can he keep my attention? How can he keep my mind on this? How can he keep me excited? How can he keep me an activity to do all the time? And how can he do this? And how can he do that? And I don't know if I can belong to that place because that guy just preaches about as old-fashioned as they are. I don't know how we can do that. Church, I want to tell you something. Until we get back there, but at that point of simply preaching the Word of God and relying on God to change people, the churches are going to continue in decline. Amen. Forgotten the basics. We're about entertainment and not eternal life. We're living at a time, I pinned this down yesterday, we're living at a time with more money and more time than ever. You say, wait a minute, preacher. You preach all the time about you don't have any time. Yes, I do. But listen, you think about this. We're living at a time with more money and time than we've ever had. Why did I say that? Because back there in the old timey, I was talking about in those old churches, them guys would be out working from daylight to dark trying to get the food for the saved up so they'd have something to eat through the winter. They would be out working continually, cutting wood or whatever it is to make things happen. And today we got all these modern conveniences and all these things, and we say we don't have any time, but let me show you where our time is. We get our kids involved with softball. And you know what? I love softball. I love coaching. I love being around Ashton playing it. But you know what happens when spring starts and practice is going 2 or 3 days a week and games about 2 days a week? You know what old preacher will say? He'll say, well, I would, but I don't got no time. Where's my time? You know what else I do? I say, I don't got no time to study my Bible. You go look at my TV history, and I'd be ashamed to show you how many hours I spent on it. And if I was to look at your phone history and see how much time you spend on different sites, you'd probably be ashamed also. What I'm telling you is we got more time than ever. We got more money than ever. Whine and moan and groan. Oh, I don't got no money. Oh, Lord, I'm broke. Lord, I'm this and that. And you know what I see? If I'll be honest with myself, most of that money is gone to entertain me. Would your mom and daddy, think about this, older people, would your mother and daddy ever have paid $150-something a month for a TV? My daddy had a stroke. Would your daddy have ever paid $300 a month for a cell phone bill like our families have today? No way. He wouldn't let me call long distance. Would he do all these things that we have? No, we wouldn't. Listen, we put ourselves into this place and we become more concerned with entertaining my children than we become with making sure those kids have eternal life. It's real, y'all. It's something we joke about a little bit. And it's kind of comical the way we're doing it. But I want you to think about that earnestly today. Are you more concerned with entertainment or eternal life? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. 2 Timothy 3, 4. This is the last time. Won't you listen to this? He's talking about the end times. He says we'll become traitors. Boy, people today will sell one another out for nothing. You know why? We got to have our way. Hey, I'm really something. High-minded. Ooh, I read this right here yesterday and I had to repent. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures. Exactly what I was telling you about. We have to have pleasure. We have to have entertainment. We have to do this. Hey, one of the most money-making things there is Disney. I think people go there and spend all kind of money. They got Disney ships that people go on and all this stuff to entertain them and pleasure them and give them all this stuff. And everything we have nearly in our nation today is about my comfort, about my pleasure. You go by, you can't even buy a pickup truck anymore. The things have air-conditioned seats that come up and cool your britches off. And think about it. I remember a day, and I'm not that old, of when you buy a truck and you hope the thing had a heater. Yeah, what it was made for was to haul wood and to haul stuff if you worked. And we got all these things today that does this. You know why? Because we've got to entertain ourselves. We can't just have a car to go big that tells you everything that's going on, where you can look at Facebook driving and all these things you don't need to do. I'm saying all this to tell you this, that we're so worried with entertainment. We have let it come over into our relationship with God, and no longer are we concerned about getting our kids into a church where the word is preached, where the word is taught. We're worried about getting them into a place that can keep them busy. And now listen, I understand you've got to keep them busy with good things. I know that. But the most thing you're being concerned about is being in a place where something is being preached or something is being taught that's going to lead them, allow them to know when God is leading them, and they can have eternal life. Entertainment's fun. I love it. TV on and watch a college football game. Man, how much is it taking us away from God? How much is it taking our churches away? It's time we get concerned with eternal life issue and less on entertainment. But you know what is, what's happened? We've got this entertainment I'm talking about. We've got a thing called Facebook. We've got a thing called, I don't know about them Snapchats and all them things. I ain't got one. And all this stuff, you got all these Instagrams and all this thing. You know what we do? We get on there and we see the church down the road. Or we see the church over here. We see the church over yonder. And man, the same thing is just filled up. And all this stuff. And I see what's going on there. They show certain things they're doing. And man, it's just full of all kind of stuff. And there's people there. And I don't know how they're attracting all them people. I tell you what we need to do, preacher. We need to see what they're doing to attract all them people. To be honest, that's what we do. We look and say, what are they doing to get all those people into the house of God? The truth of the matter, I'm not saying this as a whole, but most of the time, people's not interested today in going to a place where man is going to preach the word of God. They want to go to a place where all the entertainment is, and there's no sense of being connected to that place, so you don't feel accountable for anything. Just let me watch something on a TV screen, and let me hear something tickle my ears, and let me go home and check off the mark that I've been to church, and everything's just hunky-dory. Let me tell you, it's time we get back to the word of God, preaching this thing that's supposed to be preached. I had an old preacher used to be in Concord. His name was Jack Marsh. Y'all may remember him. But he used to say something that I always remember. He told us, he said, when you begin to preach, he said, you preach it gun barrel straight, heaven high, and torment deep. Every time he preached, he said the same thing. He would get up before it even started. He said, I've been preaching this long, and I always try to preach it a gun barrel straight, heaven high, and torment deep. We worry about today of drawing a crowd. Listen, I understand it takes members. Well, it takes members tithing, it takes members giving if you're going to have buildings, if you're going to have the stuff. It takes it, but listen, I believe if we get our priorities right and get God in the right place of this thing, that God will provide. And if you look back to that other church, you know what? The preacher didn't go out and get people and pull them into the church. The Bible says that God added daily as such should be saved. Now, I want to tell you something else, church. If you get more than God wants you to have, you've got the devil. I heard some preacher say something out this week that I thought was good. He was talking about pastors. He said we put so much pressure on ourselves as pastors. You look up a word pastor and it simply means a shepherd. He told us something. He said y'all's jobs as pastors are to feed the flock. That's what a shepherd does. He leads them to the pasture. He leads them this. Don't you think about this? You realize that there's not a shepherd alive that can increase the sheepfold on his own? He can't do it. Yes, he had money, he could buy more sheep. But I'm talking about in a physical standpoint, he can't reproduce sheep on his own. You know what reproduces sheep? Sheep. Pastor's job is to feed them. Church, our job as church members is to be a member of this body. Sheep bring sheep. Sheep bring other sheep. That's what's missing in our churches. And listen, I know as you go out and you invite people to church, they're going to ask you something. What's there for the Have they got a dynamic youth pastor? That's the word we use, these nice words now. Have we got a dynamic youth pastor? Is he eloquent with speech and all this? And you go to tell them, no, but we got one that slobbers and throws the Bible around, does all this stuff. And they say, well, we ain't going there. But honestly, they ask you that question, you tell them one thing. We got a church that preaches and teaches Jesus Christ. Amen. If that ain't enough for you, I have nothing to offer you. I can't entertain you. I want to tell you something. If I pastor 100 years and I get us up there with old Charles Stanley or some of them fancy ones, and I get up that place, I still can't hang in there with the world. There's no comparison. You can't compare the church to the world. The world wins every time when it comes to entertainment. You can't come close. We're striving as church as a whole, the whole body of Christ. I'm talking about the universal church. We're spending more energy on trying to compete with the world than we are doing what God's called us to do. Just preach the Word of God. Teach the Word of God. And it may simply blow our minds to think about this one thing, that if we do that, God will add to the church. Hey, He did it then, He'll do it now. There's still people, I believe, that's hungry for the Word of God, hungry for this to be taught and preached in a way that don't water it down, that don't hide anything from it. Because I tell you something of it, if a church is preaching the Word of God, there's going to be some conviction there. There's going to be some stepping on toes. There's going to be some hurt. There's going to be some things that I do gets preached about. And I can pout and I can go home and say I ain't going back. But if I want to be what God's called to be, I got to get over that and go forward. Because you know what it's for? It's for reproof. It's for correction. It lets me know where I mess up. And listen, I have plenty of failures and plenty of faults. So we want to belong to a country club or a church? After this message, you probably want a country club. I might not blame you. We want to belong to a body or a building? Are we in? Are we concerned with entertainment or eternal life? See, the great thing about this is God give us all the tools necessary at New Harmony Baptist Church to be a successful church. Every single thing we need, He's given us. He's given us the Word, number one. He's given us deacons. He's even given you a pastor. You can say, yeah, a little pastor, and you won't be lying. Give us a little bit of a pastor. I believe with all my heart that God's called me to preach. If He didn't, I wouldn't be here. I believe God's called me to this place. If it wouldn't, I'd go somewhere else. And I believe God's going to do something. If it wouldn't, I'd go. Because I want to be where He's working. But listen, church, I understand something. If we're going to see God work, we've got to do things God's ways. You can come up with ways to draw a crowd. It'll last for a little bit. I had a friend of a pastor at a pretty decent-sized church. He'd tell me something. You'd look on the Facebook where we like to look and see how churches are doing. Somehow we judge them by that. Man has members every week. I told him, I said, brother, looks like y'all doing good over there. And he said, I want to tell you something. With a sad look on his face, he said, it's a revolving door. We get 10 today and 10 leave. Continuous cycle. They're leaving. He said, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what the deal is. I'm not saying it's his fault. The thing of it is when someone's looking to join a place, they're looking to come be a member of a place because of what entertainment's there, you're going to never be able to keep up. Because this place can one-up you. This place can one-up you. But I want to challenge you something today, church. Listen, it may not even be here, but I hope it is. You get to a place where you feel like God can use you, you get in there and you get involved. If it's not here, I'll have to get over it. But if you're going to be what God called you to be, you've got to be concerned with eternal life and not with entertainment. We started with a message in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 through 10. I'm going to end the same way. I'm going to read this again and we'll close. Paul, an apostle, not a man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me into the church of Galatia. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, I say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that he received, let him be accursed. Listen, verse 10. Now I hope it makes sense. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. In closing, if y'all come forth. Outside world, or you'll be pleasing to God. Because I promise you something, if you're pleasing to God, most of the time it's not going to look pleasing to the world. It's not going to look like the rest of the world. The Bible says we're called after peculiar people. Different. There's some differences. That's one thing that's wrong with the church. Why get on this and go another hour? You can't tell a difference in the church and the rest of the world. Why do we think they want to be a part of some body that we say is different when they see no differences? I got to say one other thing. Boy, it's dangerous when you say your clothes, ain't it? Heard a guy talking about a county up in Georgia. not far from us, that said there was a church up there. And he was upset about it because he pastored a church in the same place. He said, we worry about competing. He said he had a member that come to him and said, Pastor, it may be time for you to go. We're not adding members. People's not coming like they once was. Our pews are empty. Maybe it's time for you to go on down the road. He said he began looking around and heard about that same week about a church that invited a clown to come up there for a children's ministry. And as he gave him a sucker, he asked him, do they want to be saved? Do you want to be saved? As he gave him a sucker. Let me tell you something. The Bible plainly says that a man, woman, boy, or girl, no matter the age, no matter what it is, will be saved when God draws them, when God pulls them. If I could give you a sucker and save you, I would do it, but I can't. There's a lot of people don't stand accountable for some people that thought they had something, but it was counterfeit. And I'm not going to be a part of that. Bless God, we may not see one come this year. I don't know. But I can tell you something. If one does come, it'll be because God sent them. I could come up with ways and devices to fill those pews. I guarantee you we could. But if it ain't of God, I don't want it. I'm only 43 years old, but still I ain't got time for that. If I live to be old as Pat is, I ain't got 30 years. I want to do what God's called me to do, and I want to do it in the right way. I want to have fun. I do, church. I'm not against fun. Y'all know that. I love to cut up. I love to have fun, but also it's time to get serious. There's people outside those walls of that church, even in our families, that's dying and going to hell because we're worried about entertainment. We're worried about entertainment. If you would stand today, we have a verse of song.